We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Amen. So again, last week we began looking into what has been kind of an underused tool in believers' spiritual arsenal these days, often overlooked in the modern era, but continually exemplified in Bible times. It was a factor in the lives of Moses and King David, Elijah the prophet, Queen Esther, Nehemiah, the prophet Daniel. I mean, you go down the list. The Apostle Paul, even Jesus Christ himself, this is a spiritual discipline that they were involved with. And I want to talk to you today about the spiritual discipline of fasting. Now, I'll tell you right now, I say that this isn't often used as, or this isn't used as much in modern times. It doesn't mean people aren't doing it. People in this church are doing it. People all over the world are still doing it. But based on the difference between what we saw in the Bible and what we see today, it is underused. But how many know we're a whole Bible church? Yeah. Right? We don't just pick and choose. We're not pull-string faith people, meaning we only've got five scriptures that we live our life by. We actually open up the whole Word of God and say, God, I want all of you in me, and I want to know what that means. I want to be able to live my life by the whole book, nothing but the book, so help me God. And so as we dig into the Word of God, we learn a lot of things when it comes to prayer and fasting. They must be together, okay? But a lot of people know a lot about prayer. I want to talk about the fasting that maybe they don't know so much about. And so a quick review before we continue into this continuation of last week. What is fasting? Right? A fast in the Bible is usually a voluntary total abstinence from food for a set time for the purpose of devoting oneself to seeking God. So what is it? No food. For what purpose? Seeking God. Right? It's an abstinence of one thing so that you can devote yourself to another thing. Let me say it this way. Fasting denies our flesh what it wants so that we can focus more clearly on strengthening our spirits and being more sensitive to what God is saying and doing. What God is saying and doing. We have the ability to be more sensitive to God's leading. How many people can remember trying to tune a radio dial like the old school analog radio dial? Nowadays, you just press scan and it gets to the good spot, right? Right? But when you tune that radio dial, you hello there, how are you? We're trying to tune into what God is saying in our life. There's a lot of white noise. There's a lot of static. There's a lot of distraction in our world, and there are ways that we can turn the world down. There are ways that we can turn the spirit sensitivity up to know what God is trying to do, what he's saying, and where he's leading. So we took a bit of time explaining what fasting was not last week, and I can't dive too much into this, but basically, fasting is not a hunger strike. We're not being four-year-olds refusing to eat broccoli so that the parents know just how much we want something else. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's not like we're trying to twist God's arm to do exactly what we want. It's not a hunger strike. It's also not just a diet plan. We're not just doing this to be able to be like, hey, I want to spiritualize this thing so that I stick with it. Right? And so we do know what fasting is. We do know what fasting isn't, so to speak. Now, someone goes, well, I thought fasting is fasting like, look, if you're looking at dietary things, there are different things called fasts, right? I get that. I'm talking biblical fasting. What does this mean for prayer and fasting, okay? And so fasting apart from prayer is nothing more than a diet. When we enter into a fast, we must stay focused on the spiritual instead of the time you would take, say, to eat. You say, okay, well, these are carved out times in my day where I'm going to seek God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hear the word. Some people say, well, you know, I'm in the middle of work on, you know, Monday at lunch. What do I do? Well, where do you eat lunch? Right? What do you do? Do you, don't you? I mean, nowadays I throw in earbuds and I'm listening to the Bible when I don't have the ability to stop and read the Bible. I'm doing what I can to get it in me, and you can find a good way to do that. Right? And so people say, well, why should I fast? And I gave a long list last week. Some of the reasons that you would consider fasting is, are you in need of a healing or a miracle? Do you need a touch of God in your life? Maybe a fresh encounter. Do you desire a deeper or more intimate and powerful relationship with the Lord? Do you need to break away from bondages that have been holding you hostage? Is there a friend or loved one that needs salvation? You've been praying and praying and you've been inviting. There's an opportunity to go before God and say, God, I need a breakthrough here. You know, do you desire to know God's will for your life? There are tons of reasons you could decide to fast. But what I see in the Bible time and time again is biblically we see fasting can create breakthroughs. And so I say can create, it's always creating a breakthrough, but it's when you see it. Okay, so last week Melissa encouraged us in our giving and she used a scripture that talks about casting your seed upon the waters, right? And she explained what that meant, right? Because in the river bends, you'd see when one end is carving out the river, the other end creates a deposit where seed can be. So the idea of casting your seeds upon the water is actually sowing for your future. Right? So as you cast your seed, these people were herding cattle. They needed to be able to find more seed and more food for what they were doing, right? And so as they continued down the stream, they would find the very thing they cast. And it would be producing fruit. When we fast, we are casting seed for our future. You may not see in reality in the moment what God is doing, but man, are you sowing seeds that you will see in the future, okay? Sometimes you have to understand, you have to have spiritual eyes to see what God is doing. And it's easy to say, oh, he's doing nothing. No, no, no. The Lord is always doing a new thing. It's whether we're in on it and it's whether we're sowing towards it. Hello? And so one of the stories that I love when I talk about fasting, I oftentimes dig back into the story of Nehemiah because so many people know Nehemiah rebuilding the wall and the warrior he was and the amazing, you know, things that he did. But a lot of people don't see where it started. And so let's jump to Nehemiah together. It says this. It says, so Nehemiah was in a conversation asking, how are the people doing? Because a lot of the remnant that was left in, you know, the people were being exiled, the people that were still in Jerusalem, like, how are they doing? It's been a rough time for his people. And it says this, they said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Okay? So we're about to go into this prayer that comes, that we end up seeing come out of this prayer and this fasting time. But he had been praying. He'd been mourning and praying and fasting. And now we read this prayer. It says this, O Lord God of the heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love with those who love him and obey his commands. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Whenever we go before God, we want to make sure that we're right before God, right? So what do? We humble our hearts. We humble our spirits. We admit that we have messed up. We admit that we are not God and that's why we need him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So maybe before we approach God on the things we need, maybe we should realize what we need to do is humble our hearts and ask for forgiveness. Right? As we enter this time, we're about to enter a time of prayer and fasting in this church. And you're welcome to join us. This isn't mandated. It's encouraged. You're invited. It's an opportunity. But can I tell you, we don't enter into this thing until we are right with God. We start coming in into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, and we ask for forgiveness that we would be made right before him. Hello? And our God is righteous, and Jesus, because of what he did, we're forgiven for it. Anybody excited about that? So he says, I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly, but not by not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled to the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I have chosen for my name to be honored. Now, this scripture means so much. When I was in Israel 2 years ago, I was talking to a lot of the scholars that were doing a lot of these biblical tours. And one of the things that they said is, as you saw, Jerusalem, the Israel population, they dispersed across the whole world. Between war and all sorts of other reasons, between all the things that happened, they started to come back. And now we're seeing the coming back together of a nation that is well populated. We've seen the dispersing, and we've seen the regathering, and that's what it's being talked about right here. Okay? The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are your servants. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Here we go. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. Now let's just pause right there. What we're understanding is God has put it on his heart at this point. He can't just sit idle by and see what's going on. He needs to go and do something. And now he needs the king to be favorable to him so that he can do what God has called him to do. So what ends up happening? I don't have time to read through the rest of the story, but I can give you the bullet points. He ends up going before the king. He serves the king. He's one of the more well-trusted servants that are by the king's side regularly. So now he's got to ask the king to not be by his side regularly and to be able to leave and go back to his homeland to help rebuild the walls. So he asks the king, I know that I'm your servant. I know that you're the king, but can I leave for an extended period of time? How long? He didn't know it was going to be years, but years, right? Can I leave? Oh, and by the way, I'm going to need money and resources and all the product to rebuild the walls. So can I also have a blank check for the king's forest to rebuild the walls as well? And I also could really use a rubber stamp of your approval on this and the safe passageway to get there because it's not an easy journey. The king ends up, there's the breakthrough is the king ends up being favorable to him, says yes to leave, says yes to giving him everything he needs out of the king's forest, and then decides he's going to send an army, basically bodyguards, to protect him as he goes. How many think that's a breakthrough? We see in the Bible, fasting and prayer creating breakthrough. Many of us need breakthroughs in our life. We have prayed. We've sought God. We've done what we could, but we really need his hand to move. Hello? Someone know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And then we see in other stories, like I said last week, where there was a boy who was demon-possessed, and the father brought him to the disciples, and the disciples did everything they usually do to cast out the demon, which they had done before, by the way. And guess what happened? This demon didn't get cast out. So the father goes to Jesus and says, I tried, but your disciples couldn't. Can you do anything? Can you do this? And Jesus, of course, goes in and casts out the demon. And then when he goes back to the house, the disciples say, hey, how come it worked for you and not for us? And Jesus himself said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. What's he saying? This kind needed heavier artillery. So Jesus is even saying, and this was a rooted, long when you think of the captivity that this boy was in for the length of the life he had lived, it had been an ongoing thing. Can I tell you, some of the vicious cycles of sin that have been ongoing for years, they don't break but by prayer and fasting. We can pray and pray and pray, but I'm telling you, there's something to it, and we see it in the Bible, and Jesus makes it very clear. And so fasting can create breakthroughs in our lives too. So what can I expect to gain from fasting and prayer? Number one, expect a recentering and focus on God. Fasting must forever center on God. Not just an answer or what you want, but a pressing into him. An opening up to the Holy Spirit, a leaning in. You know, in Zechariah, it makes it very clear that there's the ability to fast, but not make it about God. God says this, say to all your people and your priests, during these 70 years of exile, when you fasted and mourned in the summer and in early autumn, was it really for me that you were fasting? What's he saying? You can go through the steps, but not even make it about me. You can go through the steps and make it all about what you want to see out of this thing and not even ask what I think about it. You can go through the process and act as though you're trying to twist my arm to do what you want. But what I want is for you to twist your heart to be in a position to understand what I'm doing. Oftentimes we go into the prayer with our own agenda. And in the middle of our fast, we realize it's not even about our agenda. It's about God making something new in us to open up a future that if we had continued the way we were going, it wasn't going to open up. And so we've got to understand there's this refocusing, there's this recentering. God was saying, did you even fast for me? God's asking the question. It is possible for you to fast and forget about him. Our fasting must be done under God's direction, and we must have our eyes fixed to him. Our one intention should be to glorify our Father in heaven. We leave the outcome to him. When you pray and fast this way, you should never be disappointed. Because I'll tell you, you can come out of a fast, and the very thing you had been praying for, you're like, well, God, I don't exactly see that change, but I promise the seed that you have sowed has already created a change. And what God is doing in you is not going to be in vain. Are you getting this, church? What can I expect to gain from fasting and prayer? Number two, a reminder that God is our sustainer. It reminds us who sustains us. You know, who is holding this whole thing together? Sometimes we act like we're the ones running around juggling all the plates and that it's all us. But look what it says in Colossians. He existed, talking about Jesus, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. If you go and read through the context of this chapter, it's talking about Christ. It states that in Christ, all things hold together. By abstaining from food, one chooses to feast on the word of God and is nourished by it, the one who holds it all together. Look in Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So what you're saying is it is possible to be sustained by God's word, not just by food. Yes, because that's what the scripture says. And it says that it's part of, if we want to live the life God called us to live, we're not really living if we're not receiving the word of God. Right? And so again, while we fast and pray, we are depriving our flesh of its urges, crucifying our flesh. Why? So that we can continue to elevate our sense and our sensitivity to the Spirit and what God's doing. Right? And so we're creating discipline to not allow our natural urges to control us. But more than anything else, we're feasting on and digesting the word of God in the spiritual realm. You know, at the beginning of this year, I encouraged people, hey, why don't you decide to go through the Bible in a year? It's something that I've completed through the years. Last year, I did it again. And it's amazing how much of the Bible can get in you if you just devote yourself to 15 minutes a day. And we posted a whole bunch of apps, and I'm going to have the church repost again, because guess what? You may say, man, I really wanted to do that, but now I'm 10 days into it. Is it too late? No. Last year, I started late and caught up by doing two a day until I was caught up. If you're going to be going into a time of prayer and fasting, that would be really easy to catch up. You already have content to be able to say, I need to digest more of this. And so I'm telling you, if you want something different this new year, you better do something different to see the difference. You're not going to get better if you don't change what you're doing. Everything is the law of sowing and reaping, isn't it? And so read his word, digest it. It's not too late. I encourage you, catch up on reading the word of God. I am all for people getting books that are biblically balanced that help you. But can I tell you, if you're spending more time reading self-help books by someone explaining the Bible than reading the Bible, you got it backwards. I'm not saying that it's not beneficial. I read them too. They're great ones. We use them for community groups and doing other things. But listen, be back in God's word. Let him breathe fresh in you. Let his word speak to you. John 4:31. Jesus had just done some ministry while the disciples were going away looking for food. And they come back and they're encouraging him. Oh, you need to eat. Let's read this. It says, meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. What he was referring to is, while you were gone, what just happened here, what we just did by fulfilling the Father's call in my life, by being spiritually sensitive to what was going on, I am refreshed, re-energized. I'm living by something other than bread alone. I have a food you know nothing about. Are you getting it? Okay, because I'll keep moving if you are. People say, why do you say that? Because I can move on if you get it. Number three, to become more spiritually sensitive. What am I going to get out of prayer and fasting? Becoming more spiritually sensitive. You grow a heightened sense of the spiritual. Through the sacrifice and denying of the flesh, you become more sensitive to what God is saying, doing, and where he's leading. Sometimes we say, God, why haven't you done this yet? God, look over here. And God's going, no, I know what you're pointing to, but the reason we're stuck here is my answer is over here. You're stuck on what you expect me to do, but I'm always doing a new thing. And I'll tell you, oftentimes if you've figured out what God's going to do, he's not doing it that way anymore. Just being honest. I remember I when I finally said yes to God, okay, God, I had the tug on my heart for a long time, and I finally said yes to ministry and a lifelong call. I said, okay, God, here's how we're going to do it. Okay. I grew up a pastor's kid. I understand how difficult pastoring can be. I've seen knives in the back. I've seen disloyalty. I've eaten a lot of fish and forgot to spit out the bones when I was a kid. And so I decided, okay, ministry's not my thing. But when I finally said yes to God, I gave him parameters. I said, okay, look, music's my thing. I'm going to be the worship pastor. I'm going to write songs for the church. This is how it's going to go. And yes, be excited because I'm saying yes. I fly to Australia and I'm prepared to go and study in a school that is their forte, and I'm standing on Bondi Beach thinking this is the best, and I start feeling sick to my stomach. Like I'm in the wrong place. This is not what I'm supposed to do. And I just realized I had said yes to God with a bunch of fine print, which is not a yes at all. And little did I know, although me saying yes to God, I wasn't going to be a worship pastor. Not for another 5 to 7 years. I was going to lead young people. And all of a sudden, God put like a wellspring in my heart, this new desire that I had never had before to lead my generation. But I was too busy saying, God, hello, this is what I'm doing. And he said, no, this is where I'm calling you. And until I had positioned myself to actually be sensitive enough to hear what he was saying, I just kept hitting my head against a wall, wondering why I'm not getting what I want. Because after all, God, this is what you want too, right? Because it's what I want. You gave me the desires of my heart. God's timing is everything. I'd end up becoming the youth pastor here at this church, and it wouldn't be until years later that professional musicians who had been leading our worship team said, hey, he's the guy to do it. And at that point, I was like, gulp. It's all in God's timing. He may have put it on your heart, but it doesn't mean now. But I want my heart to be in a position to receive what is now. He must increase, but I must decrease. How can you increase if there's no space in your life? There's a series in the cafe called Vessels that I did years ago. And the concept, I had this big glass bowl. The Bible talks about how we're like jars in the hand of the potter, right? The clay, he molds us. So I've got this big vessel. And everything we put into our life represents parts of who we are. Yeah, I can stuff a Bible in there, a football in there, my kids' ballet shoes in there. Everything that makes who I am and what I do. And you just start putting all this stuff in there that represents who you are. And then we say, God, give me more. And God goes, well, I can't increase until something decreases. I can't give you more until you make room for me. There's no way for me to do what I want to do when it's all about you. So in that analogy, I had to start taking things out of the bowl to make room for what God was trying to do. Fasting allows you to take things out of the bowl to make room for what God's trying to do. When you make a sacrifice for God, you always grow. And with spiritual sensitivity often comes a new sense of clarity. You know, there's a number of people that fast and pray in this church pretty regularly, but I was having a conversation with Nadine, and I asked her to come up and just share a few thoughts about fasting and then also a testimony of it. Give her a hand as she comes.
Good morning. I love how Pastor Chad use prayer and fasting as a weapon, as a part of our equipping. I have been pretty much regularly using that for at least the last 20 years of being a believer. And so I have a really great testimony for you concerning this. Back in September of 2002, I was 34 years old, had just come out of one season of my life, and I was like, God, what do you have for me? What do you have down the road? And I heard him really speak to my heart pretty clearly. He said, seek me for 3 months, and at the end of those 3 months, there will be a dramatic shift in your life. And what came to me was this scripture in Psalm 27. It says, hear my voice when I cry, O Lord. Have mercy on me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. And his face is his presence. And so that tells me when I need an answer, I will find them in the pursuit of his presence. And I know, I know, it's good. It was good. So we pursue the Father. And I know in this room there and online, streaming, there are many different levels of pursuit taking place. Maybe you don't, maybe you know God is real, but you've never met him. You know, you could just be here visiting and you're like, what is happening in this house? I'm feeling something. Maybe your spiritual life has grown a bit dull and you're just coming here on Sundays and thinking that's going to fill you. Or maybe perhaps you're just thirsty. Like the psalmist wrote, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul thirsts for you, oh God. That's how I get. It's like, God, I just want more of who you are. And whatever level you're at, there is a beautiful promise out of the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was writing this letter to the exiles, those who were taken captive to Babylon. And he was saying, I know you're captive, but I want you to thrive in this place where you are in captivity. I want you to bring peace. And he goes, and after 70 years, you're going to return home. And you might know this verse. For I know the thoughts or plans that I have towards you, says the Lord, are good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And it goes on. And he said, and then you will pray, and I will listen. And when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. So I remembered that. And so let's go back to September 2002 when God spoke that to me about seeking him for 3 months. I automatically knew what that meant was a season of fasting and prayer. Because I know that more than anything, fasting prepares you, like Pastor Chad's talking about, it's a seed. And it prepares you for your future, for your arrival there. And so I know, I'm like, I don't know what you have for me, God, but I want to be ready when it comes. So I probably fasted probably once a week, liquids for once a week, maybe twice a week, increase prayer, increase of the word, worshiping, spending time with the Father. And at the end of that 3 months, within that week, Jerry Tenori, who's on sound, asked me out on our first date. Isn't that cool? I'm going to cry just thinking about it all over again. We were engaged within 9 months and married 7 months after that. So I know that I know when God lays it on your heart to seek him, there is a purpose in that pursuit. So thank you. That's what
so
I
good. Thank you, Nadine. You know, and she was saying that for those months during certain times of the week, she had liquids alone at that time. I think you'd said you'd fasted liquids, but liquids alone, yeah. So here's the thing I'll tell you. I know that fasting works. I know that it creates breakthroughs. Last week, we shared a testimony that was shared by our kids' pastors as well about they needed an answer. And although they wanted to hear, yes, they needed an answer from heaven. They wanted God's will for their life. And the answer ended up being no. And although they had wished it was a yes, they knew they had heard from heaven, they had had peace, okay, at least we have the answer. They didn't end up buying the home that they thought they were supposed to be in, and then down the road years later, they found out that that whole neighborhood had serious problems, and actually God had saved them with a no. Right. Can I tell you, whether it's a yes or a no, I just want to hear from heaven. Yeah. 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 I may go in thinking it's going to be one thing, but I'm just wanting an answer from heaven. I know a lot of people are like, I'm fasting if I'm going to get a spouse out of this thing, right? And it came with the house. You're right. That was a blessing too. But listen, I just want to tell you, if you want something different in this new year, then you need to do something different. Yeah. You need to sow in the so that you can reap. You getting this? And so the last point I have today is, what else does it do? It regains control and balance of life. It helps us take back the power over our flesh and earthly desires. Listen, how often do the non-essentials of life seem to take control of our life? How often do we want things that we don't need? How many people are not good at saying no to themselves because you're all grown up now and you don't have to? It creates an animal. We've got to learn to have discipline and not just say yes to everything in life. Hello? And so how often do we allow things other than God to control us? Look at prayer and fasting. It helps keep the natural desires of our human selves in check and balances our spiritual self. So it's important to train our bodies. And I'm out of time, so I'm going to finish this up really quickly. But it's important to train our bodies in right living, our minds in right thinking. It takes discipline of our bodies. The Apostle Paul says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Listen to me. Why is he training his body? Because if he doesn't discipline his body's going to control him. We have to understand that the natural urges of life can control you. They can mislead you. And so that's what prayer and fasting does. It allows us to refocus and get a balance. So if you're not as hot or as on fire for God as you were in the past, you need to consider prayer and fasting. If your prayer for God is to bring you back to that mountaintop experience with him in fresh encounter, you need to consider prayer and fasting. Take me back when I was fervent, God, and sought you deeper. If that's your prayer, then you need to consider prayer and fasting. Then, I'm telling you, once you have experienced what God can do in your life, you'll consider this as a regular spiritual discipline. Not one that has to necessarily come from a church corporate prayer fast. Something that you just understand when you're thirsty, you're going to seek God. Are you getting this? And so there is power that comes with the earnest prayers of a righteous person. James tells us this, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Listen to this, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Prayer changes things. Fasting and prayer changes hard things. So as we close, a quick review. A biblical fast is giving up natural food for an increased serving of the spiritual. Okay, there's a lot of ways, and I've talked about this in the first service. A lot of people, it's kind of become more of a trend where people are choosing to fast certain things, right? There's some people, they need to fast Netflix or social media. I'll tell you right now, that's something that could be a supplement to your fast. But when, as a pastor, when I'm teaching you the word of God, I want you to understand what the biblical meaning of this is. A biblical fast is saying no to food for an extended period of time. So when we talk about fasting, you can decide at which level you would like to be involved. But what I'll tell you is we're about to enter a fast for those that would like to join us. I gave everybody a heads up last week so it wasn't being thrown on you just now this week. For you that just joined us today, if you feel like it was thrown on you right now, it's because you just came today. But listen, it's a giving up of the natural food for an increased serving of the spiritual. Fasting must include increased time of prayer and seeking. It's not just a diet plan. The Bible shows that prayer and fasting gets God's attention. Who wants that? Fasting and prayer, yes. And fasting and prayer create breakthroughs in our lives and in our world. Who wants that? So although fasting tends to be a very private thing, as it should be, and many people are doing fasts throughout the year, as you've heard from Nadine, but after the year we've had in 2020, and although it's been a very good year, God brought us through it. The church is doing phenomenal. It's like the kingdom is advancing regardless of what's happening in the world, and I love that. But basically, I know a lot of people are exhausted. They're tired. They're jaded. They're struggling spiritually, and I think this is exactly what we need to do, is to say, you know what? We're going to have a time of prayer and fasting together, and so we're entering into 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm not telling you you're giving up food for 21 days unless that's your choice. You know, I think there are some people that are going to choose to do a Daniel fast through these 21 days. I think there are some people that are going to choose certain days of the week to fast. But what I do want to ask is an opportunity. This isn't a mandate. I want to invite you to join us to fast for the next three Sundays, starting at 8 p.m. tonight through 8 p.m. tomorrow. The next three Monday nights that come in this month, we're going to have prayer meetings here at 7 p.m. every Monday night. If you're online saying, I want to be a part, but I can't come yet based on health restrictions and all the rest, we will be doing an online stream of those prayers, but they're live only. As soon as it's over, you won't find it. Why? Specifically because I don't want you to decide to do something else and then get to this. This becomes our first fruits. Are you hearing me? And so if you're at home and you want to be a part of this thing, you can stream with us live at 7 o'clock on Monday night. But we are choosing to sow first fruits for the rest of these 12 months. And so, you know, and I would tell you, when it comes to biblical fasting, can I tell you, biblical fasting isn't fun? It's not something you get excited about. But what I'll tell you is it's powerful. And so for those of you that would like to join us in corporate fasting that starts tonight at 8 p.m., I'm asking you, why don't you see how you can do by doing the biblical fast that we see, and unless medical reasons prevent you, and I can understand that, there are reasons that would prevent some to do this, but why not do it like we see in the Bible and do a water fast? That's hard. And you may say, I only made it one meal doing that, or I only made it two meals. Don't see that as being defeated. See that as success that you've ever done. You've never done something like this potentially before, right? And so listen, hear me. If dietary reasons or medical reasons keep you, maybe you choose not to do just a no solid food. But I would rather us biblically do it the way that it's taught to us in Scripture. And guess what? If you only get to do it and only do a meal or two this 24 hours, guess what? We're starting the cycle again next Sunday. Maybe you can push to do it a little bit more and continue the spiritual discipline. This is something that we're doing together, right? And so I don't want to discourage people that were like, okay, well, I was going to fast social media. Maybe you should add that as a supplement to the fast. I'm going to do that on top of this. But I really believe that this is a spiritual discipline that creates fruits. It really, really does. And so we're going to be doing 21 days of fasting and prayer. You get to decide what the fasts look like throughout those 21 days. But for those 3 days, I ask that you would consider joining us in this fast. And it's going to conclude with a prayer meeting here at the church. And I believe God's going to do amazing things. Do you receive the word today?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.